This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 26 is where Pastor Sandy will be teaching from today on this edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
Now, Moab was also a cousin of Judah. Moab was the offspring of Lot's incest with his oldest daughter. This Lot had a bad stretch there. The Moabite nation settled just northeast of the Dead Sea, and they too were jealous of their Jewish cousins. Notice they say here that Judah is just like a common nation, like all other nations. In other words, they deny the Hebrew nation's unique place in God's plans. And I hope you and I don't make this mistake. God doesn't expect us to give Israel our unequivocal support on every policy decision or every political maneuver. It would be wrong for us to excuse away Israel's crimes or ignore her injustices. But God does want us to always recognize that the Jewish people are dear to His heart, that their nation holds a special place in God's plans for His future kingdom. Hey, God has chosen the Jews. He has from the time of Abraham, and that choice will be evident in the last days as well. Verse 9 tells us, "Therefore, behold, I will clear the territory of Moab of cities, of the cities on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth Jezemoth, Baal Meon, and Kiriathaim. To the men of the east I will give it as a possession." Again, the men of the east are the Babylonians. "Together with the Ammonites, that the Ammonites may not be remembered among the nations." Moab accused Judah of being like all other nations. Thus, God will treat the Moabites exactly the same way. Together with the Ammonites, Moab won't be remembered. They'll disappear as a people. And how many Ammonites or Moabites do you know? Not many, huh? He says, "And I will execute judgments upon Moab, and they shall know that I am the Lord." Moab too will be judged. Thus says the Lord God, because of what Edom did against the house of Judah by taking vengeance and is greatly offended by avenging itself on them. Now the Edomites, they were descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. They occupied the territory southeast of the Dead Sea, which includes the famous rock city of Petra. He says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will also stretch out my hand against Edom, cut off man and beast from it, and make it desolate from Teman. Dedan shall fall by the sword." Now, this is an amazing prophecy, given that Edom and its capital of Petra were a very prosperous, they were a very well-fortified nation at the time. And yet here God says that He's going to make it desolate. He says, "I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, that they may do in Edom according to my anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, says the Lord God." Now here the judgment is not going to come at the hands of the Babylonians, but at the hands of Israel themselves. Ezekiel says that Israel will bring God's judgment on Edom. And you can read of this in the writings of the Jewish historian Josephus. In fact, in the apocryphal book, 1 Maccabees, chapter 5, verse 3, Judah conquered Edom in 126 BC. The Jews were led by a priest from a priestly family known as the Maccabees. This priest's name was John Hyrcanus. And for a short time, Israel was a strong, independent nation who ruled Edom. John Hyrcanus led this judgment against them. It's amazing. Ezekiel foresaw all of this about 450 years in advance. Verse 15. "Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy," and I like this, "because of the old hatred." Oh, there was an old hatred between Israel and the Philistines. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines and I will cut off the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast." The Philistines were a people who lived southwest of Judah, in the coastal plain between Jerusalem and the Mediterranean. And here we're told they harbored an old hatred against the Hebrews. You remember the Philistines figure prominently in the Old Testament. They were Israel's arch enemies for 200 years at least. During the time of Samson and Samuel and Saul and David, Israel was in constant conflict with the Philistines. It's interesting because the Philistines are here called Cherethites. In verse 16, some believe that they migrated from the island of Crete in the northern Mediterranean. According to Ezekiel, they still occupy Israel's southern coast at the time that he was alive. And because they had this spiteful heart toward the Jews, God promises to judge them as well. And so not only does God judge his people, but now he's judging these nations around Judah. Verse 17, "I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them." Notice how God's judgment on all these Gentile nations is designed to prove that Yahweh, the God of Israel, is the true God. Again, over and over he says, "so that they shall know that I am the Lord." God is proving his sovereignty, his authority to the Gentile nations. It reminds me of what Paul said of the Gentiles in Romans chapter 1. "Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. They suppressed the truth. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge." God had proven himself to the Gentiles over thousands and thousands of years in countless and numerous ways. But they didn't retain God in their knowledge. We're told here they suppressed the truth. And the Philistines were the quintessential example. I mean, think about all that the Philistines had seen. From David's slingshot to the Holy Spirit coming upon Samson. They had seen God's work up close and personal. From Samson to David. And yet they refused to worship Yahweh, the God of Israel. In Ezekiel's day, they were at it again. They were rebelling and serving their pagan gods. And God is going to bring judgment on the Philistines as well. And in the last days, God is going to pour out his wrath on the Gentile nations. In fact, all the Gentile nations of the earth. Why? "Although they knew God, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." They suppressed the truth. Doesn't that kind of sum up our world today? Though they knew God, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They suppressed the truth. Jesus will return and he will remind the nations of this earth that he is God. He's going to judge this wicked world. Note here, the plagues of the great tribulation are called furious rebukes. Furious rebukes in verse 17. God will execute his vengeance, and all the world will know that Jesus is Lord and God. In that day, everyone will believe, but for many, 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 it will be too late. Well, chapter 26. "And it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying," this would be on our calendar, April 23rd, 587 BC, less than a year before the fall of Jerusalem. He says, "Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, 'Aha! She is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste.'" Now the next several chapters are Ezekiel's prophecies against the ancient city of Tyre. Actually, more than just Tyre and the king of Tyre. God is going to make some prophetic judgments against even far-reaching principalities. A little history. Tyre was the port of the Phoenicians. It was about 20 miles north of what is today Haifa, Israel. Its ruins are on the coast near the Lebanese-Israeli border. The Phoenicians were the famous sailors of the ancient world. They were known for their expertise in nautical enterprises. They were the ancient mariners. These seafaring people, they sailed and they colonized cities all over the Mediterranean world. In fact, there is evidence that the Phoenicians sailed even as far as the British Isles. I once read a biblical archaeological review article about an inscription that was found in Bat Creek, Tennessee, of all places. Bat Creek, Tennessee. Some scholars believe that they found this inscription and that this inscription resembles an ancient Hebrew script. They concluded from that it was possible that Phoenician or even Hebrew voyagers had made it all the way to the New World. During the reigns of David, Solomon, somewhat thereafter, but particularly David and Solomon, and the Phoenician king Hiram, Israel and Tyre were strong allies. As a matter of fact, the temple was constructed with Lebanese cedar. The logs were floated down the Mediterranean coast from Tyre to Jerusalem. Ultimately, though, the two nations became economic rivals. Their relationship soured. With Judah under siege by the Babylonians, the merchants of Tyre looked on it as a business opportunity to expand their markets. That's why in verse 2 they say, "I shall be filled." But God says, "No, she is laid waste." And just before Jerusalem falls to the Babylonians in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar and his armies begin to lay siege to this nearby city of Tyre. Verse 3. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you as the sea causes its waves to come up." God had tired of Tyre. He had many nations in the offing, prepared to come up against her. Remember the principle that we've mentioned in regards to Bible prophecy. God employs this over and over. It's the principle of dual fulfillment. Often, biblical prophecy has two fulfillments. It has an immediate fulfillment, but then a long-range fulfillment. And that's what we have here. Notice verse 3 doesn't say Babylon, but it says many nations. There is a portion of this prophecy that was fulfilled during the Babylonian siege of 587 BC. But there's another part of this prophecy that was fulfilled much later by the famous Greek general Alexander the Great. In fact, God's prophecies concerning Tyre are some of the most provocative and fascinating in all of the Bible. And because they've already been fulfilled, they provide us evidence for the Bible's amazing historical accuracy. Now notice verse 4. "And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, says the Lord God." Again, this was a beautiful, a very elaborate cosmopolitan place, but it's going to be scraped to where it's just the top of a rock. "It shall become plunder for the nations. Also her daughter villages, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, with chariots, and with horsemen, and an army with many people. He will slay with the sword your daughter villages in the fields. He will heap up a siege mound against you, build a wall against you, and raise a defense against you. He will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the abundance of his horses, their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen, the wagons, and the chariots when he enters your gates, as men enter a city that has been breached. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people by the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground." Now, General Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army laid siege to the city of Tyre for 14 long years. Imagine our city at war, surrounded by hordes of bloodthirsty cutthroats, not for 14 days or 14 weeks or 14 months, but for 14 years. The siege of Tyre lasted from 587 to 573 BC. The Phoenicians were able to hold off the Babylonians because of their nautical capacities. They could receive water and food by sea. Historians tell us that during the last month before the city of Tyre fell, the Phoenicians loaded up all of their wealth onto their ships and they moved it to an island just offshore, about a half mile off the coast. Nebuchadnezzar flattened mainland Tyre, but it was a hollow victory for him, for he conquered, in essence, an abandoned city. Tyre stayed as Nebuchadnezzar had left it for the next 241 years. But in 332 AD, another young, ambitious general, a king of kings, who at the time was just 19 years old, he launched an attack on the city of Tyre. This was the Greek warrior, Alexander the Great. In the beginning of this siege, Alexander lacked a navy. And so he collected rubble and debris from the city and ruins that Nebuchadnezzar had leveled, and he built a causeway 200 feet wide, extending from the shore to the island that was now the city of Tyre. Notice how Ezekiel foretells of Alexander's actions. Verse 4, he says, "I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock." That was literally fulfilled. He took all of the debris, all of the rubble, and he used it to build this causeway to the island city. Alexander took 7 months to finish his causeway. In the meantime, he defeated a few neighboring cities, the coastal towns, which Ezekiel prophesies here. He confiscated their navies. Nebuchadnezzar defeated the coastal city of Tyre, but Alexander, who came later, conquered the island city of Tyre. Verse 12 tells us, "They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water." They built the causeway. Nebuchadnezzar conquered Tyre, but he took no spoils or plunder. As far as any economic success was concerned, his 14 years besieging the city was a waste. Alexander, on the other hand, did plunder a prosperous city. The last half of verse 12 describes his battle strategy. He took the debris from the mainland city and he used it to build a bridge out to the island city. Despite constant attacks from the island, Alexander's men prevailed. The spoils of Tyre actually helped Alexander finance his future conquest and really enabled him to rule the world. His victory over Tyre was the victory that catapulted him really to his place in history. Verse 13, "I will put an end to the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harp shall be heard no more. I will make you like the top of a rock. You shall be a place for spreading nets, and you shall never be rebuilt. For I, the Lord, have spoken, says the Lord God." This is perhaps the most amazing of Ezekiel's prophecy, that Tyre would never be rebuilt. A city that was once so prosperous would never be re-inhabited, especially when you consider that the ancient site sits over a freshwater spring that pumps about 10 million gallons of drinking water daily into the ocean. I mean, that's a large enough water supply to support a modern city. Despite Tyre's 2,700-year history and all her natural resources, the city was never rebuilt, according to the word of Ezekiel and the word of the Lord. It's mind-blowing. There is a modern city called Tyre. It's a fishing village built a few miles down the coast from the ruins of the old city. And still to this day, as Ezekiel said, fishermen there spread and dry their nets on the rocks of the old city. Again, this was predicted in verse 14. And this was all foretold by Ezekiel in 587 BC exactly 255 years before Alexander the Great was even born. In his book, Science Speaks, author Peter Stoner, he calculates the odds of these prophecies concerning Tyre coming true by mere chance, by freak accident. By the way, the odds of you dying in a fire are about 1 in 40,000. The odds of you getting hit by a baseball in a Major League Baseball game is about 1 in 3,000. Unless the Braves are at bat, and then it gets even higher because they just don't hit it anymore. 1 in 300,000. Of being struck by lightning is 1 in 2 million, and of winning the state lottery is 1 in 4 million. According to Stoner's book, the odds of Ezekiel's prophecy coming true by accident is 1 in 75 million. And that's a big number. Obviously, a prophetic fulfillment of such detail required an intelligence outside of time, someone who knows the end from the very beginning. And that's what Bible prophecy is all about. It's proof that the author of the Bible is that intelligence. Ezekiel 26 is tremendous evidence for the Bible's reliability and trustworthiness. And then verse 15 tells us, "Thus says the Lord God to Tyre, will the coastlands not shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded cry, when slaughter is made in the midst of you?" Tyre, again, was one of the most prominent cities of its day. Its tentacles of influence reached around the globe. What a shock it had to have been for the nations to hear that Tyre had fallen. Her demise sent a powerful message. "And then all the princes of the sea will come down from their thrones, lay aside their robes, and take off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment, and be astonished by you. And they will take up a lamentation for you and say to you, 'How you have perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men, O renowned city who was strong at sea. She and her inhabitants, who caused their terror to be on all her inhabitants. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands by the sea are troubled at your departure. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who descended to the pit, to the people of old. And I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in places desolate from antiquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited, and I shall establish glory in the land of the living.'" The Hebrew word translated pit is the word Sheol. It was the Hebrew word for hell. The fall of Tyre is going to populate the halls of hell, and it's going to bring God glory on earth. Verse 21. "And I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you are sought for, you will never be found again, says the Lord God." For decades, modern archaeologists looked for the ruins of the coastal city of Tyre. But because they couldn't find such a site, they concluded that Tyre must have just been a mythical city. That is, until archaeologist Flinders Petrie noticed lumber in the causeway leading from the mainland to the island. He looked down under the water and he saw the debris and the lumber and all what had been built there to get Alexander over. The rubble of the mainland city that everyone had been seeking but couldn't find was right there under their eyes, right under the surface of the water. As God had said in verse 19, "When I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you." And the prophecies concerning Tyre get even more amazing in the chapters that follow, Ezekiel chapters 27 and 28.
Thanks for joining us today on Sandy Adams Radio. Sandy Adams teaches out of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. We are currently going through the book of Ezekiel, which is in the Old Testament. Ezekiel was one of the prophets in Israel, and much of the book deals with judgments on Israel and the surrounding nations for sinning and rebelling against God. As dark as this may seem, there was a purpose. It wasn't for nothing. God used exile to help the Israelites examine their hearts. He used Ezekiel to point the people back toward Jesus. I would bet that every single one of us has faced a dark season in life where visibility was at an all-time low. What did you do to clear the fog? You ask God for help? Do you realign your thought process to match God's promises? Are there any areas in your life where you're seeking God's justice? If you have questions about the message you just heard or any prayer requests, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 770-736-2828. Again, that's 770-736-2828. You can also find more information on our website, sandyadams.org. While you're there, you can listen to more teachings or you can download our mobile app to listen to these messages wherever you are. Join us again next time on Sandy Adams Radio.